March 27th. Sheila and I had lunch today at Linwood's. She's slowly talking herself into the idea of looking at sites for a quilt shop. So far, Emily hasn't made any claims on Sheila's recent windfall, probably because she hasn't heard about it yet. As soon as she hears her mom has money, mark my words, Emily will be at the front door, her hand out. So, I'm doing everything I can to push Sheila into making her dream a reality. This morning at Linwood's, for instance, I ordered us the pastry platter and pulled up FM Realty on my phone. Let's see what commercial properties are available just for fun, I said, tapping away. Wouldn't it be great to find an old house downtown that you could convert into a shop? Sheila nodded dreamily. Remember Quilted Dreams and that big old Victorian house on Walnut? Oh, I loved going from room to room to look at fabric. Batiks in this room, Civil War repro fabrics in that one. It was wonderful, I agreed, and so sad when they decided to close up and put their business online. Sometimes you need to pet the fabric before you buy it. Exactly. Sheila took a sip of coffee and then examined her cup. Wouldn't it be nice to have a quilting store with a little cafe in it? You'd have to have strict rules about no food or beverages in the rest of the shop, of course. Of course, but I love that idea. People could shop for a while, then take a break and shop some more. And if you had a class, people could get something to eat or drink during the break, Sheila said, her eyes widening as the waitress set our pastries on the table. Oh, look at that eclair. I wonder how many Weight Watchers points that is. I picked a blueberry scone from the platter. Hadn't you heard? Weight Watchers has declared March 0 points pastry month. Eat as many as you want. They don't count. Wonderful, Sheila exclaimed, picking up the eclair and taking a bite. Oh, that's heavenly. Can you imagine, Marn, eating one of these after an hour of hard shopping? You'd feel like you earned it. Choosing fabric burns a lot of calories, that's a fact, I replied as I scrolled through a listing of commercial buildings. So, where's the best place to open a quilt shop in Milton Falls? Downtown or near the mall? Downtown would cost too much, Sheila pointed out. Gentrification has done a total number on property values. I wish I'd bought up some real estate 10 years ago. Not that I could have afforded it then, even cheap as it was. I sighed. We might have to give up the dream of downtown. But the good news is, if we can find a place near the mall, you can get all the young moms, plus all those quilters who live in the retirement communities around there. Okay, let's make a list of shopping centers. I pulled a notebook and pen from my purse. I'm aware that my phone has a notes app on it, but it takes me twice as long to type something on my phone as it does to write it down. Anyway, it only took a couple of minutes to list all the little strip malls and cute shopping spots in the new Milton Falls area. Some of the strip malls wouldn't do at all, too depressing and run down. But the Falls Town Center was a possibility, and as it turns out, there were 3 empty stores waiting for new tenants. 2 of them formerly housed restaurants, which meant there would be a lot of kitchen space Sheila didn't even need if she did open a cafe in the store. But the 3rd one was the old Thrifty Antique Vintage Village shop, which started out as Thrifty Village, but over the years words kept being added to the name until no one knew what to call it. Maybe that's why it closed, who knows? The great thing about the Thrifty Village space is that it's big. Enormous, really. Big enough for a classroom and a room with a long arm machine you could rent out. And most importantly, big enough for loads and loads of fabric. Let's go look, I told Sheila. right now. But we still have two Danishes left, Sheila pointed out. I'm not leaving two cherry Danishes on the table. We can wrap them up in napkins and put them in our purses, I insisted. Danishes are sturdy, not like those wimpy eclairs. It's a good thing we ate those already. I don't know, Sheila said. She shook her head. I don't know if I'm ready to look at spaces yet. Fine, I told her. Then I'll look and report back. I'm going to call and make an appointment the minute I get home. Okay, fine, Sheila said. If you can make it for next Thursday, I'll go with you. But I'm not signing anything. I don't even have a business plan yet. So, now we're meeting a realtor Thursday at 11. Daryl's going to come with us, since Sheila and I don't know anything about sound construction or electrical systems or whatever. What we do know about is fabric and notions and what quilters want. If Emily just stays away for a few more days, we could make this happen. March 29th. We never made it to Thrifty Village at Falls Town Center today. Instead, Sheila was made an offer I'm pretty sure she can't refuse. And to think, this never would have happened if Daryl weren't a member of the Milton Falls Modern Quilt Guild. You know the old mill buildings on George Road? He'd asked when he walked through the door on Tuesday night, home from the Modern Quilters' bi-weekly Stitch and Bitch at Mrs. Miniver's. The ones right next to the river? Of course I do. I looked up from the latest issue of Quilt Folk, which had come in the mail earlier in the afternoon. That's where the quilting company was, in building number 5. Daryl grinned and shook his head. I always forget what a history buff you are, when it comes to quilt history at least. Which leads me to the next thing. Are you aware that the Milton Falls Quilt History Society finally got its charter? I stared at him. I can't believe it happened. I went to all of those meetings 3 years ago, and everyone seemed to have 100 different ideas about what a quilt history society should do and be. No wonder nothing ever happened. I remember, Daryl said, you were so disappointed. But you'll be glad to hear that they finally got their act together. Apparently, some big money person whose grandmother was a quilter came in and took control, put all of their ducks in a row. Not only that, this guy bought out all the retail spaces on the 3rd floor of building. What was it? 5? I put my magazine down and leaned forward. Yes. But bought them for what? I mean, what purpose? The Quilt History Society's office and a museum, Daryl informed me, and quilting-related retail spaces. Quilting-related retail spaces? Like a quilt shop? Daryl nodded. Sheila, I whispered. Sheila, he replied, and with that he grabbed my phone from the kitchen table and tossed it to me. You better give her a call. You guys have an appointment with the society people tomorrow morning at 9:30. I could hardly pick up my phone, I was so excited. I was afraid if I called Sheila, all I'd do is scream like David Cassidy was on my front porch. But young David Cassidy or old David Cassidy? It would be pretty weird if old Marnie started shrieking about young David Cassidy. On the other hand, okay, I digress. Let's revise. Not trusting myself to not shriek as though present-day George Clooney were on my front porch, I decided to text Sheila instead. This is not our usual mode of conversation, having developed a thrice-daily phone call habit in 1975, but it would have to do until I could calm myself down. Forget Falls Town Center, I texted. We're going downtown. Okay, for future readers, here's a little history lesson. Like the other mill buildings along George Road, Building Number 5 started out life as part of the Milton Falls textile mills, which were built sometime in the mid-1850s. When the Great Depression hit, the mills closed down, but the owner's son got things going again a few years later. But even before the mill came back online, Building Number 5 took on a completely new life. It became the home of a quilt pattern and kit company called Milton Falls Quilting Company. The founder, the daughter of one of Milton Falls' wealthiest families, was wildly successful and went on to do all sorts of things in the quilting world, including publishing several popular quilting magazines and founding one of the first big national quilt shows. It's funny, when I was growing up here in the 60s, no one ever mentioned the fact that Milton Falls was pretty much the epicenter of mid-century quilt making. It wasn't until the 80s, when quilt documentary projects were all the rage, that people started talking about the Milton Falls Quilting Company and its founder, Florence Grangerfield. The city even put up a historic marker on the Riverwalk. Since then, there's been a PBS documentary and several books about Milton Falls and quilts. But other than a plaque by Building Number 5's entrance, declaring it was the quilting company's original home, there hasn't been anything quilty about it for years. When downtown came back into vogue about 10 years ago, Building Number 5, which isn't downtown exactly, but it isn't too far from downtown, became one of those reclaimed spaces that people couldn't get enough of. All six of the old mill buildings were scooped up by Milton Falls' savviest real estate developer, Ed Baldwin, in the early aughts, who sat on them for a decade and then made a mint. Now one building is occupied by the local public radio station, and another is home to our big local tech startup, Mad Dog Industries. Like the other buildings, Building Number 5 was renovated to recreate its original look. Broad planked hardwood floors, exposed ductwork, and brick walls. Of its five floors, three are used for event rentals, wedding rehearsal parties, beer festivals, company Christmas parties, that sort of thing. But the second and third floors became retail space. If you're in the market for something homemade, vintage adjacent, or generally twee, the second and third floors of Building Number 5 have what you're looking for. Graham cracker and pipe tobacco scented candles at Wick, vinyl records and 8-track cassettes at Hunky Dory Records, hand-knit sweaters at Nitty Kitty, that sort of thing. But it's all about to change. March 30th. You know, I'd almost forgotten about the Milton Falls Quilt History Society, Sheila said this morning as we started up the steps to Building Number 5's entrance. I never thought anything would actually... Oh, I don't know. That anything of interest to an actual quilter would ever come of it? I supplied. Sheila shrugged. Well, you know how that nonprofit stuff works. A bunch of well-intentioned people with a good idea gather together and find a way to pay themselves to do things that matter to maybe three people outside of their organization. You are such a capitalist, I teased her. I've never met anyone who hates nonprofits as much as you do. I am a capitalist, Sheila pushed back. I owned my own business for 20 years, and I didn't get any special tax write-offs. No one gave me a grant to keep me going. I kept myself going by selling a product that people wanted to buy at a price they could barely afford. There's not a thing wrong with that. Well, it sounds like you're going to have your mind blown. As I pushed through the door, I saw a friendly-looking woman waving at us. Here's our representative from the nonprofit world now, and it sounds like she's going to offer you a deal. And, dear diary, that she did. Sheila's got 24 hours to come up with a simple business plan for a quilt shop. She's coming over in a half an hour for pizza and brainstorming. Fingers crossed things go our way. April 1st. Hold on to your hat, dear diary. Sheila got the shop. It was a no-brainer, really. She's been daydreaming about Thimble Pleasures for I don't know how many years now. At least 20. She also owned her own very successful business, so she knows all there is to know about. Well, whatever you have to know to run a very successful business. So when we sat down with Mimi Pressler, the president of the Milton Falls Quilt Historical Society and soon-to-be director of the soon-to-be Milton Falls Quilt Museum, Sheila was like an athlete waiting for the opening whistle to blow. As soon as Mimi said, "Tell me about your plans," Sheila grabbed the ball, shot from center court, and scored. It took all of 5 seconds before Mimi Pressler's eyes were all aglow with wonder. "As far as I'm concerned, you can pick your space," Mimi said when Sheila finished. "I've had a couple of other people come in and pitch ideas, but no one with your experience, either as a small business owner or quilter. Mostly it's been quilters who have read a lot of Marie Bostwick novels." "Oh, I love her novels," I said in my only substantial remark of the meeting. "A Single Thread Between Here and Texas." "The Ties That Bind," Sheila added. "I even love her non-quilty books." "Me too," Mimi exclaimed. "Okay, that does it. Let's go look at the spaces." All three retail spaces were lovely. The only downfall was that none of them could house a cafe. But the fact is, there's already a coffee shop called Morning Star Java on the second floor, which is where Sheila and I went for coffee after the meeting.
"Are we sure 306 is the right one?" Sheila asked after we ordered lattes and cider donuts, which are yeast donuts and therefore healthy.
"I mean, it's so big."
"It's like Mimi said, you have to visualize it filled up with fabric and a long arm or two in the back. And you can use room dividers to create teaching space. Really, I'm wondering if it's big enough." Sheila frowned.
"So you think it's too small?"
I shook my head. "No, not at all. It's exactly the right size, especially if you follow Mimi's advice and put as much fabric as you can along the walls. You can put the rest of it on movable shelving so you can create more space for a big class. Bev does that at the Cozy Quilter. She could probably tell you the best place to get all that stuff."
"Bev."
Sheila looked as though she'd seen a ghost.
"We forgot all about Bev. Is she going to hate us? I mean, right now everyone heads to Ashland when they need fabric. We're going to be taking business away from her."
"Wait a second. Who's this we?" I asked. "You and me? Am I your business partner?"
"Don't you want to be my business partner?"
Sheila paused.
"Maybe Emily could be my business partner."
"You're kidding, right?" Just then, the waitress delivered our donuts, and I grabbed one before continuing. "Even if she was halfway interested, she'd be terrible at it. What does Emily know about fabric? Or quilts? Granted, she knows about business, but to run a successful quilt shop, you have to live and breathe quilts. Why do so many of us drive over to the Cozy Quilter when we could order half of what we need, 3/4 of what we need, from the Fat Quarter Shop or the Missouri Star Quilting Company?"
"Oh, I love Jenny Doan."
Sheila sighed and then added, "Most of her employees are family members." I have no objection to you hiring Suzzy, Grace, and or Carrie, I told her. But Emily, that's where I put my foot down. If we want this shop to be successful, we have to hire people who can make it successful. Sheila grinned, reaching for a donut.
Who's this we?
I guess it's you and me, I told her. As always, Sheila agreed. Now, how are we going to break it to the cozy quilter gals that they've got competition? Gently, I told her. Very gently. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.